This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So I went to Publix today.
Wait, a lot of people don't know what Publix is. You got to preface what Publix is.
No. if you don't know what Publix is, I think there's a better podcast for you.
I didn't know what Publix was until I met you. Yeah.
Really? You've never heard of Publix
before?
I would
have thought it was like a movie theater.
You're just
something.
Lying. You're lying. You're either lying or 6 years old.
No. Which one? All right, Publix is like a Stop and Shop or like a Whole Foods.
No. It's Publix, okay? That's like saying, you know, like. Anyways, I went to Publix today, right? And I went to go get a chicken tender sub on lunch. It's where they take their chicken tenders, they put in a sub, you know, whatever
like
toppings
Subway.
You want. I get lettuce, but it's not Subway, you know. It's Publix. It's Publix sub. I get lettuce, black olives, banana peppers, some mayonnaise, and I get the chicken tenders tossed in buffalo and ranch, right? So boom, I go to Publix, I go with my coworkers, and you guys know by now that my coworkers are white. Not only are they white, but they're really white, you know, really, really white. So I have one of my coworkers, you know, the sweet woman who was making our subs. You know, one of the women was making his subs, and you know, he is very white, so his gestures are very white.
Wait, I couldn't hear you. They're what? They're what?
Huh?
They're
really white.
Oh,
really,
yeah,
really
I
white.
Wasn't sure. I wasn't
just
sure.
Very, look very, no, like, yeah. Yeah, really white, and it will be exemplified with what I'm about to say. You know, one of the women got swapped out, you know, for another woman. A new woman started making his sandwich, and you know what he says? Welcome aboard.
This is the story that you wanted to share in the beginning?
No, it's really not. There's a much more serious conversation that happened afterward that is not a good intro for the podcast. I think for the next season, we will have better intros. Because
we could have saved like, our listeners' ears without that intro.
Listen, I hope you guys know that the hardest part about recording this podcast is figuring out what to say in the first minute. We're really bad at this, okay? We'll get better. It's not even we. I don't want to.
It's you.
You know, blame
it's
it
you.
On anybody. But it's not my fault. You know, I'm not saying whose fault it is. It's not my fault. Because. You know, you guys can go listen to all the intros. It's always me. I don't know why. Maybe because someone never has anything to say. I don't know.
Anyway, welcome back to Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian experiences. I am Ahua.
And I'm Mashun.
And we are officially 44 episodes into the season. We are ending season one after this episode, and we will be moving on to season two after a short break. But to, you know, treat you guys, we really wanted to answer some of the questions that you sent in. Some of them were a little bit sad, but some of them were also a little bit, you know, asking about our lives, a little playful. We do want to answer the questions the best of our ability, but also we don't want to get too sad this episode. So yeah, we will get to the juiciness.
How you feeling 44 episodes in?
I can't believe we're 44 episodes in. Like, literally, we started this podcast on July 31st, I think, right? Of 2021.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Can you remember what you were back then?
What do you mean? I was me. I've always been that guy. Masha Munir.
God, you were someone, someone different.
I didn't have a book back then.
Yeah.
I got a book now.
True.
What about you? You had like 6 followers.
Hey.
Sorry.
I was still living at home. I was so not confident at all. I also was really not really speaking on YouTube or like anywhere really. Like I was not a figure, you know. Right. I was just art.
You are an artist, right?
Yeah, no.
You don't post nothing no more.
No, I'm an hey. The art flows naturally now, you know.
Oh wow! You know?
Before I was just an artist, you know, twice a week post art. Everyone be like, right. "Who's the artist? Who's behind the art?" You know, no one knew. I was a hidden figure.
That's not true.
I
had a little, like, I don't
a little mask on you, and no one knew.
I don't know about that. I think now you're just lying. Why'd you lie to us?
So, also, I had purple hair back then. You remember that?
Oh,
you remember did. That thing?
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, I had ugly ass long hair. Why'd you let me grow?
No,
like
you. I you loved me. Your hair like that.
You say that, and then I cut it off, and you're like, "Thank God." Pick a side.
No, you.
Pick a side.
It looks good both ways. You know.
I know.
But anyways, we are 44 episodes in, and if you guys didn't know, we are taking a season break, so this is a season finale, and it will only be about 3 weeks. We will be back on July 1st, so I know you'll miss us, but not too much. In the meantime, you can just catch up on our episodes.
Everybody's like, thank God.
Thank God they're leaving. But we're going to come back stronger, you know? Season 2, we're going to have more. We're going to have more guests that we like. We're going to have more sponsorships that we actually mesh with. And it's going to be a whole new vibe, you know? Who knows what the next chapter will hold? We don't know.
Who knows?
We don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know. We don't know. But yeah, you ready for some of the questions?
Let's do some questions. You know, this is a perfect place to let you guys know if you are not following us on Instagram. We have an Instagram. It's difficultish at difficultish. Follow us on Instagram.
Just because, just because we aren't going to be posting for the next 3 weeks doesn't mean we aren't posting on our Instagram.
You know, we should do a little live. On Friday.
Oh,
Friday. That works, right?
I don't know about that.
A little live together.
I don't know about that.
Listen, if y'all listen to this on Friday, might go live. I don't know. I'm gonna be in New York. I didn't even say that. I'm gonna be in New York this weekend. For me, we got special. Before we get into these questions, we gotta let them know why I'm coming to New York this weekend. Why am I coming to New York?
I don't know. Why is he coming to New York?
You know, I forgot.
I forgot too. I didn't even know you were coming.
Oh, it's for a grad master's.
They're tired of me saying this word.
No, I'm going for Mo's graduation. I'm very excited. I'm going to just sit with her sweet mother and father and just, you know, gossip.
Screw my brother, huh?
Trees. Yeah, your brother too. Whatever. So we asked you guys just like a random Q&A. We didn't know what to talk about for our last episode, and we've had a big, you know, listenership growth in the last few months, and we... just ask you guys to ask us any questions and anything you wanted to ask us. And here are like 7 of them.
Oh, wait. Before we start, we do get this question.
We've said before we start.
We do get this question a lot. We always get the question, how did you two meet? Are you guys together? Will you get married? We get all that, you know? We never really clarified our story. We never even clarified really if we are together. We never really said
Crazy.
I mean, obviously a lot of you guys know the truth, but
should we talk about
it? I don't know. I feel like we should talk about it sooner or later. I don't know. Maybe season 2 will have the tea.
Tune in. I mean, stay tuned. Maybe we might get into it in the end.
I don't know. But it will definitely be talked about soon.
Yeah. Anyways, the first question is, who are your biggest inspirations?
That's a good one.
Who you got?
Obviously, a big one for me is my mom. I think.
Why?
She inspires me a lot because although she had to sacrifice a lot growing up and, you know, coming to the Americas, it's something that I, you know, am inspired by because it's very selfless. And even in this generation, I know a lot of people, when they do choose themselves, it is considered selfish. Whereas, you know, in their generation, they were told to not choose themselves and choose their families first. And that is the definition of selfless. But I think I look at her sacrifices and how much she has withstood as a as inspiration for how much I can do.
I like that.
Also, I did follow her footsteps in everything in life. I am graduating from the same college with my master's, a college that she was not able to graduate from. I have all her clothes, so on and so forth.
I was telling my mom how similar you guys are. Your mom is a poet. Your mom is a little theaterist, a little thespian. And you're not a thespian, but
I don't even know what that is.
You should be. You know, doing plays and stuff.
Oh, thespian.
You know, like, I think about, like, if I could restart my life, or up until, like, high school or something, what I would want to be.
An actor.
Not even an actor, just, like, in theater. Like, I've always loved theater. I love theater.
You should go with my mom.
I don't know why. I would love to, bro. I love, like, stage acting and like, I love all that. I've always wanted to play Aladdin. It's always been my dream. I'll do it one day. Maybe. Who else you got? That's one.
Who's your inspiration?
Give me three.
Give me one.
No, I think my biggest inspiration has always been Mustafa, the poet. If you guys aren't familiar, he started off as a poet from Regent Park, Toronto, which is the first inner city project housing building in Toronto. He's born and raised there. He started off as a spoken word artist. He's developed into a songwriter and singer himself, and now he's become very, very popular. Whenever anybody asks me for my inspiration, he's always the one and essentially the only person that comes to my mind. Just his style of writing, his style of living, and just his approach of, like, navigating through, you know, finding a balance between your, you know, what's important to you, like your Islamic faith or your family or anything like that, and what you're surrounded by, whether it's like your boys, your neighborhood, the city you're from, finding like a good balance in between of maneuvering through all of that. I take a lot of inspiration from that, and a lot of like my like the choices I make in my day is like directly correlated to a lot of the teachings I've gotten from him. So if you guys are not familiar, he's amazing. He has just one EP out that he's ever made. It's called When Smoke Rises. Go listen to it. It's beautiful. It's folk music. Like, it's very different. I love it. I got a lot of inspiration from him. Give me one more.
I really like Emma Chamberlain. And honestly, when I first started watching her, like, 2 years ago or three, 2 years ago probably, I started watching her when she was still very young. And I remember coming up to, and I didn't understand why she was famous, because, like, it seemed like on YouTube she was kind of just, like, drinking coffee and, you know, living her life in a big house, and she was only, like, 17 or something. But then I started to, you know, learn her story. I started to listen to her podcast, and I started to follow her on her journey. And it's really inspiring to see that at such a young age, she gained so much success just from being genuine. And, you know, she didn't come from a wealthy background. Obviously, now she's going to the Met Gala. She's wearing Cartier. She is well off now. But I'm saying that it's really inspiring to see how, with just her authentic self, her vulnerability, and just her being her, she was able to, you know, support her parents and rise up. I really like that about her.
Yeah, I think authenticity is really important. I think, you know, maybe you got a little bit of that from her.
Yeah.
Just keeping it real.
I don't know about that.
Assumptions. Who knows?
What's your second info?
You know what I mean. It's Nipsey Hussle. It's my second piece of inspiration. From him, I get a lot of things. Obviously, the lifestyles are different, but I think some of the main points that I get from him is the value of community, of really curating a certain environment, and keeping in mind who and what you keep around you and how it influences you. I get a lot of that from him, and just like the overall like rags to riches story, like not stopping. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gone through this with you. Like, this man went from selling t-shirts on the street, saving up for months, getting his own shop, going to jail, bailing himself out, going back to the street. And it's just like, you know, we hear so many just like instant success stories. And it's like, even with the podcast, you know, we see so many podcasts that just like get thrown money by like all these brands and people, and it's like, it looks so easy, but we forget about the millions of other podcasts that are struggling to get like more than 10 listeners. You know, I think he really showcases the struggle and how much you can get out of struggle. You know, how what that really does for your character, how much work ethic that builds for you. And yeah, man, I get a lot from him. And there's one quote that I keep on my clipboard, like right in front of me. I said it before, but I really like it. I've been thinking about it a lot. I've told you this before, and it's something that Nipsey Hussle said in an interview. It goes, the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable man persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress and evolution depends on the unreasonable man. I love that so much. And, you know, you can switch out man for anybody. Like, that's just a quote. But it's like, you know, I think about that a lot when it comes to my artwork. It's like, I can do what everybody else wants, but if I'm really trying to push the narrative and push the voice that I'm trying to, I got to be different. And any progression that happens in these niches or in these groups of people, it happens because of the people that go against the grain. And I've never been, you know, it sounds so hipster, but like, I've never tried to do things how other people do it, not to look cool, but it's like, I like progression. I like to bring something new to the table, and I like to see advancement in whatever it is, you know. So I get a lot of inspiration from him.
He's not like other guys.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm different.
I don't know if you knew that. Me? You know, just us casually spending 15 minutes on the first question.
Yo, my fault.
All right, what's the next question?
Next question is particularly from you, for you. It is, how's therapy going?
Well, you went to therapy,
therapy
too.
Therapy goer? Yeah, but you're going right now, so how's it going for you?
It's going pretty well. You know, I'm only about 3 sessions in, but I've had a lot of realizations, honestly. I mean, therapy, for the most part, is just kind of talking about the feelings that you've already had. So it's not really, you know, learning anything new until you're a little bit deeper in. But I've heard of different things from my therapist where it kind of like validates my feelings. And I think that's a nice way. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Mushroom's my therapist. He gets all of my ventings. He's the one that's just there for me. But it's nice to get a different perspective. And, you know, my therapist was the one who told me that, you know, trauma is there, but after a while it heals and it's less painful, which was nice to hear because it's a nice reminder. She also made aware to me that I may have high functioning anxiety, and that was also a nice.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Validation, and so yeah. It was nice to get someone more professional to actually tell me. And just things like that. It's been really nice to talk to someone that understands my background because she also comes from a similar background. And it is such an investment that I've been pushing off for so long, so many years. And obviously it's not needed. A lot of people can't afford it. And a big factor for me is that, you know, I didn't really have to pay for it. And that's what pushed me. And also the fact that I moved out. But it is so helpful to talk to someone. And I'm also in a phase of life where, like, I have my close friends, but sometimes they're too busy or, you know, maybe they just wouldn't understand what I'm going through. So I don't really tell them things. So it's nice to have, like, a fresh perspective, you know, from someone that has to be there for me regardless of if they're busy or not.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to continue doing it. And I hope you keep doing it for a long time. It's not something that you get you know, the gratification after a few sessions. Like, you really gotta have some repetition to it, and you can get a lot out of it. You know, I went into it in our therapy episode. I think about my therapy sessions a lot. I had them almost 2 years ago. It's been a while, but a lot of the things that I got from him, I still use this day. And I wouldn't have been able to, you know, build up the courage as soon as I did to move out if I didn't go to see him. You know, he really gave me another external piece of assurance, saying that, like, yo, I was in the same situation as you, and this is what I did, and I turned out good. And sometimes it takes somebody that you just don't know to say all that. You know, you can have your friends tell you what you need to do, but it's different just hearing it from somebody who really knows what they're saying and, like, you know, has the expertise and went to school with this and whatever. So it's really important, and I'm excited for you to keep doing it. I know that there's a lot that you can get out of it. I don't know if eventually you can go in person. Like, I don't know what the experience is like online. But it's great, man. BetterHelp.com/Mahua.
I was just about to say that. 10% off.
Fool me? The next question is, how's the past year of the podcast been? How are you feeling about season one? You know, how has your experience of having a podcast been with me, your partner?
My experience with the podcast has been really nice. One thing that I did learn is that we cannot record when we are hungry. We also cannot record when we are stressed with finals, because the way that the podcast is a strain when we're already stressed enough. But it's been really nice just talking about things and just, like, talking through things. Like, Mushun and I have already been talking about all of these things, but to talk about it on a longer, you know, podcast episode, and to just have different perspectives that we wouldn't really have if we were just talking about it on a shorter realm, it's been really nice to, yeah. And I think also that it's been nice for both of us, because we've been, you know, really developing the different perspectives on both sides and both races and not races, both genders. And it's been nice to, like, get closer with all of you, obviously, but also me and you.
Yeah. I can't wait to eventually do this in person. That'd be so fun. I'm telling you, like, give us maybe, like, I don't know how long, but, like, this is eventually going to become, like, an actual video podcast. And when that happens,
oh, y'all,
we're going to the moon.
Y'all better brace yourselves.
We'll remember y'all. We'll remember some of y'all.
Come on.
Some of y'all.
But yeah, the podcast has been great the past year. I really loved it. And it's been so nice to connect with so many of you. And the fact that we're just growing and growing, and you guys are just, like, giving us more and more feedback and giving us more things to talk about, it's been so nice.
What's been your favorite moment?
Buddy, this is me answering the question. How about you answer the question? This man learned nothing in the past year.
No, it's been really nice. You know, I've said this before. I see us just, you know, doing this podcast, like, forever. like there's no reason for us to stop. It's easy. You know, eventually when we get an editor, it'll be even easier. Where we just yap away into a microphone and y'all listen for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it feels very fun. Authentic. It's not scripted at all.
You know, eventually I do want to get into, you know, just more, because I think in season one we went over a lot of topics that, you know, are difficult to talk about, and we understand that's what a lot of you guys want to hear. But I think it's important to, like, really have a balance of, like, talking about the strenuous kind of, like, saddening stuff about how to get through shit. But on the other end, like, we really want to be more of an amplifier in that, like, you know, bring more hope and bring more positivity, talking about just more fun things, you know, because at the end of the day, we're not professionals in any of this. Like, we don't know, like, we don't have answers to a lot of your guys' questions. We just kind of talk about our experiences. If you guys get some out of it, great, you know, but I just really enjoy this and I want to continue enjoying this, you know.
Does that make sense? I guess this is a good place to say just, you know, how grateful we are for your support, and that so many of you have listened to every single one of our episodes and just wait every Friday to listen to us. And it's just so nice to have a community like that, because I don't know, I feel like the podcast in general, our podcast is, I mean, obviously everyone says that, like, we just have very supportive and engaging people in our community. And it's really nice to talk to you guys about things that you can relate with. So yeah, we are so grateful for how much we've grown. We're so grateful for all of you. Thank you so much for the past, 44 episodes, for the past year, and following us along and seeing us grow. It's really crazy. And for also not telling us that our mics from before sucked.
Yeah, what's wrong with y'all? For real, like, if I see any of y'all, you know, I'm really going to press y'all. Like, why'd you wait, what was it, like 18 episodes?
Yeah.
20 episodes? 25 episodes? Tell us our audio sucks? What's going on? When we got our new microphones, bro, our listenership, like, quadrupled. I was like, my God.
That's all it took.
Is this what it was? Yeah. Anyways, what was your favorite moment of the last 44 episodes?
Favorite moment or favorite episode?
Either one. Yeah, what's your favorite episode?
I really liked the episode of That's Not How You Pronounce Her Name one. Or That's Not My Name.
Yeah, that was a funny one.
That's a good one, right?
That was a funny one.
We should re-record that with our new mics.
Yeah.
I think that was episode 7 or something.
You remember my story in the cafeteria?
Yeah, Manoush.
No, I was about to re-say it. You messed it up.
Someone thought that Mushun's name was Manoush.
Oh, this is not the type of story where you can just say that.
Okay,
know?
Fine.
We got to work on your storytelling, you feel me? You just skip to the end, you know? You just freaking Lightning McQueen just saying the ending of the story. What's going on? Huh? I think I really liked the episode with Robin Day.
Mm.
I don't know why. That was like our
Mr.
first
Nabeer.
Guest.
Mr. Nabeer, yep.
It was late at night. We all had our hookah and it was just nice.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Yeah, go check that one out. Yeah, okay, next question.
Yeah.
All right. Next question, number 4. How do you handle being lonely? How you handle being lonely, huh?
You know, I'm still figuring this out.
I'm assuming you live alone. I'm
just a damn the life of wrong girl living alone.
Wrong girl living alone, out of school, self-employed.
Honestly, like, I'm still trying to figure this out because sometimes I am lonely. Sometimes I feel like all my friends hate me, especially the past week. I thought all my friends hated me. I actually canceled my graduation dinner because I thought no one liked me. I also made Mushun plan my graduation dinner for my family because I was just so stressed out. I honestly, when I'm feeling lonely, it's hard for me to get out of that rut. So I kind of just feel the feelings and feel the emotions, like just stay in bed. Watch my shows, watch my YouTube videos, just catch up. And I feel like it's also a sign of burnout when I'm feeling lonely and a sign of just something deeper. I think something deeper is always happening when you feel like everything is against you. So I kind of just stay in bed and confront those feelings, journal a little bit to really get to the bottom of it. And then when I am feeling up for it, I start responding back to text messages. I start, you know, really trying to get myself back out there and talking to friends again, but it definitely takes a while to get out of it, and I think it's really important to feel those emotions and get over it by yourself before, you know, trying to get someone else to help you with it.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me was, I think it was like earlier this year, where I was at a point where, you know, I wasn't really talking to a lot of people. I wasn't talking to any of my old friends, and I didn't really have any new friends. You know, it was a long time since I met somebody new, and I was feeling really lonely early in this year, and I don't think I ever really vocalized that or like confronted it, but I think like that's the truth. And I have a piece of advice on how to handle being lonely that worked for me, that I don't know if it'll work for you guys, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I was watching an interview few days ago with Virgil Abloh, rest in peace. He was the founder of Off-White, creative director of Louis Vuitton, just like a staple in black hip-hop culture. He had an interview where he just kind of said, like, yo, take like this glass of water, you know, for example. If this glass was in the middle of like a massive museum gallery room, just placed on like a nice stool, and there's just beautiful lighting, and it's just empty white minimal walls, you would think that that glass is a work of art, right? But if you take that same glass and you just put it on a chipped wooden table in a garage just surrounded by equipment and dust and, you know, hardware and paint and whatever, you would think that this glass is just a piece of garbage, right? But it's the same piece of glass, but your surrounding is what really shifts things, you know? So I recognize that, you know, yeah, of course, the quick answer to being lonely is, oh, go talk to your friends, go whatever. You know, there are simple answers, but I had difficulty following any of those because I didn't know how to make new friends. You know, obviously, the quick answer, go make new friends. But, you know, when you're lonely, you don't really want to go make new friends. You just kind of wish that you had new friends. Mm-hmm. You wish that you had more friends. But I recognize that although I feel lonely right now, I'm still the same person that I was when I wasn't lonely. So, like, what changed? It was just, like, what my environment was, you know? So I made sure to curate a more comfortable space for me, you know? And figuratively, that could mean just, like, you know, putting some more books around me, you know, lighting some more, like, mashallah incense, making some more cha, like calling my phone. Obviously, these aren't definitively your environment, but that's kind of how I processed it in my head, is like curate the surroundings first, right? And then, you know, open yourself up to more opportunity, and like more opportunity will come. For example, like I pushed myself to hit up my friends so I can do a pop-up at his venue, and that's the only reason that I made new friends. And I did that because, you know, I did my best to build up the courage to ask for an opportunity that I didn't know where it was going to go, right? But I knew that if I put myself in that surrounding, things would work out for me, you know, because I can either be in the garage or I can be somewhere that opportunity will arise. So I had my event, I met amazing people, and I've made a bunch of new friends that I talk to all the time, you know? And so all in all, I don't have the direct answer about how to recover from being lonely. I don't, right? But what helped for me was really curating an environment and really, really building up the courage to put myself in it, like in surroundings where opportunity was available. And the friends just came to me. And, you know, sure, I still get a little bit lonely sometimes, whatever. But it's a lot better than I was before, you know?
Yeah. I think it's really important to surround yourself with like-minded people, and also it's hard to not feel helpless, but to, you know, change that mindset and to feel like those opportunities and those friends will come to you.
Exactly. And they came to me, and they'll come to you. You've already made a few, you know, you're on the slow grind, and you're going to continue getting more, and I'm excited for you.
Don't
ever forget about me, okay? Your podcast co-host.
Come on, never.
Your cheerleader. I'm going to be very vague when I say this. We had a business meeting today, and this woman just said nothing. She said nothing.
Mashun is a really good talker. He's a really good marketer when he's talking, so I let him do his deal. I'm a really good, you know, just being there.
What?
Just listening. Right. I'm a good, you know, absorber.
Absorber?
Absorber and observer.
What are you, both. Are you a Pokemon?
No, I'm a
Pokemon.
Starfish.
Huh?
All right, continue.
Our next question is, how did you know you want to be an influencer, Mahua Khan?
Come on, that was both of us.
It's not me.
It says, how did you guys know you wanted to be influencer?
Listen, I'm not going to be an influencer till y'all follow me. You feel me? Like, you want me to be an influencer? Follow me. What's going on? Difficulty should about have more followers than that's not going to happen. If that happens, I'm deleting the podcast Instagram.
Maybe
that's
because you don't post anything on your Instagram. Maybe because you post something and then you delete it, and then you post something on your story, and then you delete it right away.
Listen, I'm telling y'all right now, if y'all let Difficulty get more followers than me, that Difficulty Instagram, it's gone.
Said who?
Me.
Anyway, we didn't know that we wanted to be influencers. I don't know. I don't consider myself that at all. I don't think that. I think influencers are, how do I say this? I feel like influencers are different than what I am.
What's the difference?
Because in my head, I feel like I'm more of like a personality. I feel like
what's
a more
difference?
Influencers are directly usually trying to sell you something, and they have like an audience that they can, you know, appease to sell something. I also think I have that, but I think the difference with me is that my sole purpose with my platform isn't to try to sell something.
Yeah, you're right.
I think
that was a solid point, and I commend you for that.
Thank you.
Good
so
job.
Much. Yeah, you're I think welcome. My platform was originally made. If you guys followed me back in the day, I
300 followers.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
We met when I had 300 followers. Anyway, yeah. So you know, I was just posting art. I didn't even have an iPad back then. I was posting traditional paintings on my little sketchbook, and I would.
You know, this woman bought me the iPad I have right now. Listen, we won't get into how we met this episode, but just know. Like a few weeks into talking, this one bought me an iPad. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
You can get whatever you want out of that, right?
You can just credit his headphone book all to me, because he would not have any of his book writings if it weren't for me. I was just investing in your future.
True.
Anyway,
that's
so
true.
When I first started my Instagram, you know, Labyrinth Ave, as you guys know, Labyrinth Ave, as you guys know, was an artist. You know, I was just posting my art.
I'm sorry for continuing.
Yeah.
You ever say where you got the name from, Labyrinth Ave?
I did.
No, but say real quick right here.
Labyrinth Ave. So my main Instagram, Lixbrint. This is my personal Instagram. Lixbrint or Labyrinth, right? I made it when I was 13 or whatever, when Instagram came out. I made it because, first of all, I loved the singer Labyrinth, you know, the person that sings in Euphoria all the time. Also, I love the meaning of Labyrinth. It means maze. I love the feeling of feeling undiscovered and complex. No one can understand me, right? I just loved being cryptic like that. I also loved the word Labyrinth in the book, in John Green's Looking for Alaska, right? Because I was like 13, 14. I was looking for Alaska, John Green hype, right? So, you know, Labyrinth came. You know, I really resonated with that word. So then when I started Labyrinth Ave with my art page, I loved the word Labyrinth. I wanted to keep my original Instagram name in it. And then I was in New York City just walking around, and I was trying to think, you know, what else can I add to it to make it, you know, a little bit more. So I was looking at street signs. I was just looking at, you know, everything around me, trying to think. And then I just saw a street. I was like, Labyrinth Street. That doesn't really sound that good. Labyrinth alleyway. No, that doesn't sound good. Ave. I was like, oh, okay. It has a nice ring to it. You know, it's kind of short. It flows off the tongue. So I was like, Labyrinth Ave. So that's how it came about.
Nice.
And then a year later, Mashun and I took a picture there at that street where it came about. It was right around Bryant Park, right? Or Union Square.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's how Labyrinth came to be. I have never have wanted to be an influencer. I didn't think that was possible for me. I remember looking up to so many artists back in the day, and now I've surpassed those artists. Now those artists are my friends. Now those people are people that I talk to, and it's really crazy because I just thought that they were in a whole other world. I always, you know, didn't think that I'd get to that level because I didn't have that talent, but also just because, like, you know, when you look at influencers, when you look at celebrities, it's just like they're in a whole other universe. You know, you don't think that it's possible for you to get there because they're just all the way up there. And it's just crazy that, like, all of the work that I did, all of the artwork that I posted, you know, got me some recognition. But then once I started showing my life story and my struggles and me, that's when I started becoming a little bit more, because people started to resonate with not only my art and my designs, obviously, on my website, but they started to resonate with my story because they started seeing themselves in it. And so that's why I say that I'm not an influencer. Obviously, I do make money sometimes off of some posts and off by showing off some things. But at the end of the day, I think my main purpose is just helping people and, you know, showing my art and to just be an older sister on the internet. So, yeah, I wouldn't consider myself an influencer. How about you, influencer Mashu Munir?
No, No, that's
you are me. An influencer now that you have a podcast.
I'm not. What? Like, there's no way you're calling me an influencer, but you're not calling yourself. What's going on?
You have a
I'm not an influencer. I've never wanted to be an influencer. I think mostly because I'm like, this podcast is the the only time I really get personal. Like,
yeah, true.
Like the ones that follow me on Instagram, like, I don't post, you know, much personal stuff. Like, I posted a spoken word piece that I did on my story just for like 12 hours and I deleted it. Like, I don't know why. I think just like my upbringing, you know, I've never been a outspoken individual. You know, when it comes to like one-on-one conversations, I can go as deep as possible, but on like social platforms, I'm just not, like, honestly, I don't really like social media. You know, if I'm being honest, I don't like social media. If I wish that social media never happened, I wish none of this ever happened. But, you know, I love writing. I do want to progress in my writing career. And I know that the venture is through social media. That's why I'm doing it. But I don't like it, you know. It's just maybe because, like I said, I don't showcase my life like that. So it's just not really for me. But, yeah, no, I'm not no type of influencer. I'm just an amazing writer.
Yeah,
and
true.
I need that to be known. And that's kind of why I'm pushing my social. I'm also fly. Like, I dress crazy.
True. That's you what know? I'm saying. So it's you like, should start posting your dress, your clothing more.
You know, like, again, I don't want to be no hipster, but I was into fashion for so long, bro. Like, I have a, I don't know if I said this on the podcast. I have a little lookbook I made. I showed you, right?
Oh, we know.
I got a little lookbook I made when I was like 18 years old, bro. I made it 5 years ago. I was busting out looks. They were fire. They weren't. But
yeah, the skinny jeans, you know, ankle boots on.
Yeah. They called Chelsea boots. Get it right. What's wrong with you? Suede, brown. Feel me? Anyways, I'm not no influencer, but I'm just a great writer. And I want my writing to be seen, you know? That's all.
And
I got.
It will.
And it has been. You know, I got somebody recently that purchased my book, and she was telling me just how much she loved it. She showed her brother, and her brother loved it. And, you know, I even had another circumstance where this girl that I went to high school with, her cousin in Texas bought my book, and she recently went to Texas for, like, a wedding. And she asked me if I can, like, give her a signed copy to take to him. And, like, when he got it, he got so happy. Like, he was, like, so, so happy. And I don't know. I love that kind of stuff, you know. I don't really care to be you know, I don't care to hear any like admiration other than when it comes to my book. If yeah. you want to give me any sort of compliment, just tell me you love my book, you know, and that's the only reason like I'm doing this social media stuff.
He's not an influencer. He's a published author, y'all heard?
He's a published author. I'm a figure.
He's a right? figure.
I'm a martyr.
Oh wow.
A catalyst.
Oh wow.
A vessel.
Ah, I was just gonna say that.
Fool me. Next question. Advice on pursuing your dream career. I mean, again, this stuff gets so intricate. So I will tell you what I did, and we've gotten into this, but I think this is the best piece of advice that you can get. Best general piece of advice you can get on this question is, unfortunately, you have to recognize that, I don't know what your background is, but us as South Asians, you have to put in twice the amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the privilege of doing what the white man does or the white woman does. You have to put in double the amount of work. That's not something you can complain about. That's not something you can cry about. That's something that you got to accept and just do it if you do want to pursue your dream career. What I did and what Mo did, we did both at the same time. Mo got her master's degree in 23 years while building her own business. You know, true. I'm working a full-time job. I'm in full-time school while I'm pursuing my writing career. True. It's like, you can't, like, sure, there, you know, depending on your parents, you have the opportunity to pick. I'm sure, you know, some people have had that opportunity. A majority of people don't. And so it's a lot of people that are like, oh, I want to be this. And like, I wish I could drop out of school, but my parents won't let me. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's either you drop out and go against what they're saying. If you do that, that's on you, right? Like, I can't give you advice at that point. my advice is you have to do what makes them happy, and you have to do what makes you happy simultaneously until you can build up what you enjoy doing to the point where it suffices what they like, you know. True. So I'm still not like super successful, but some of the accolades I got from my book, it was enough to, you know, show my mom and for her to take me seriously. You know, I had my artwork in the museum. You know, I had the third best-selling poetry book in the country. These are things that she saw. She's like, okay, like, I get it. And I used that as a little bit of leverage. And, of course, I didn't wake up and have my paintings in the museum. You got to work to that point. Right. But all in all, it's just like, you got to work for it. You got to put in twice the amount of effort. And you have to recognize that the journey is going to be long. But if you stay on it and you build up both these things simultaneously, you keep doing good in school while you're building your side dream career, you'll end up okay. You know, that's what I did. And that's what you did.
True. Yeah, on top of that, I feel like you just have to grow really thick skin and you have to be very disciplined. So on top of just working twice as hard and doing both things at once, you have to accept the fact that your parents will not understand how much you do, even despite the fact that you're doing a lot. So, for example, you know, I just graduated with my master's. I'm self-employed. I live by myself. You know, I'm getting money. And my parents still don't understand the fact that I am getting money. That's something, you know, that's outside of, like, my teaching degree or outside of my education, because I'm getting money from my art or, like, my business or from social media. So you have to kind of get over or move past the guilt and the insults that they may say to make you go back on your path and to follow their rules. And you really just have to prove to them that you can do it. But that means being very thick-minded, and that means being very direct with what you want to do and being very strong with what you want to do, and just not falling for their guilt tripping or falling for their, you know, their manipulation or falling for their insults, whatever it is. They will not see what you are doing until many, many years ahead. And it's very unfortunate that it takes that long, but you really have to be strong. And there will be a lot of hard days where they just will not take you seriously or will not understand, even if you are succeeding.
To add on to that, I think just a general piece of advice is don't chase the validation of them or anybody. You know, don't do these things in hopes of you showing your parents and them validating you. Because if that doesn't happen, that'll mess with you, you know? Pursue your dream career because it's your dream career, not because you want to show them that you're capable of doing something that they didn't firstly, you know, approve of. You know, I never wanted to be a writer to show my parents I could write. Like, I want to do it because I love writing, right? And you know, of course, you're always going to want to be validated by them. And everybody has different parents. Everybody has different parents that will validate you, that might not. You know, I've had moments where my parents didn't when I wish they did. And it's upsetting holding them to that standard, because the truth is that you have to understand that they might not understand yet. And whether you want to, you know, be up for the role of getting them to understand is on you. But you can't put 100% of your energy into trying to teach them something, because some things are just not teachable. You know, some things like they learn on their own just by seeing you, by watching you. So don't put all your hopes in, like, your parents will realize and your parents will learn and your parents will figure it out and understand, because they might not. And that's okay. As long as you're good, as long as you're enjoying what you're doing, just keep doing it and they will hop on the boat eventually. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping for, you know?
That's a good one.
Fool me? Next question. Last question. Gotta wrap this thing up.
We're already at the last one? Time flies when you're having fun.
Wrap it up. Damn, this is like a final goodbye. I mean, it's 3 weeks. Learn nothing. last question. How do you, Mahua Khan, get your South Asian parents to trust you?
Why did you ask me that directly? That question was not directly only to me.
I don't know.
How do you get your parents to trust you? That's a good one that I'm still working on, huh?
I got one. Be honest with them. That's easier said than done. I've lied to my mom for years. We've all lied to our parents for years. I don't know about your guys' lives, but a lot of my lies with my mother has caught up to me. I've been caught for a lot of them. It's it just adds roadblocks, you know? Like the journey from start to finish of growing a beautiful relationship and connection with your parents, it's a long road, right? It's miles, right? It's a long road. You lying to them, it just makes the road longer, you know? And you do it for like the instant, you know, you want to go out at night, you want to do whatever, that's on you, right? And whatever, like, you know, I can precaution any of these saying that like, oh, it's different for every parent. Obviously that's assumed. For my parents, I wish I didn't lie as much as I did, because it really messed things up when it didn't have to. And yeah, you got to stretch the truth sometimes. But if there is a blatant opportunity where you know you can be honest, and even if it might hurt in that moment, bro, I wish I was more honest with my mother. I'm fully honest with my mother nowadays, even the stuff she doesn't want to hear, because I know deep down it'll make her happy and it'll make her really sad knowing that I lied to her. I think that one's really important for building trust. It's probably the most important. Just don't lie to them as much, you know, just as much.
Yeah, I think when you get older, it's a lot easier to tell them the truth, because you start, you know, lying less and doing things in a sneaky way, and you start seeing your parents as people. But I know, like, when we were younger in high school, we definitely lied a lot more. I think, honestly, now I am much more honest with my family. And I also asked this on my TikTok recently, where I asked, oh, would you rather tell your parents who you are and not keep your identity a secret, even if it creates tension or creates them to be mad? Or would you rather keep it a secret and, you know, remain at peace with everyone in the house, you know? And yeah, it was kind of a tie, because a lot of people were saying that they would rather keep the peace in the house and keep their identity a secret. Or some people were saying that they would, you know, tell their parents about their true identity regardless of what tension it would cause. But I truthfully think that it's a lot easier said than done. And also, it depends on your situation. If you think that telling your parents something would, you know, get you kicked out or something worse, obviously you don't do that. But I think for the most part, your parents will get over it, or regardless of how mad they are, or regardless of, you know, how badly you think you messed up by telling them, they will eventually get over it, and the next thing will be easier to say, and so on and so forth, because, you know, their mindsets will stretch a little bit more and more with each time. So I would say, to build your trust, it is very important to be truthful and start showing them parts of you, but, you know, take that with a grain of salt. That only depends on, you know, how your parents are and if they are easygoing. But at the end of the day, most parents do start to loosen up for the most part.
My mom likes it when I buy her flowers. That helps me build my trust with her. I remember when I went to Puerto Rico when I was 19, I forgot to tell my mom that I was going to Puerto Rico. So the day before, I bought her a watch.
So you bribed her.
Yeah, I gave her the watch and I dropped the bomb. I was like, Mom, I'm flying across the water tomorrow. She said, okay.
That's it. That's all it took.
Yeah. So nice. If you guys need to build some trust, buy your mom a watch. Feel me? It's that easy. All right? Damn. Life is that easy. If I'm being honest, okay? I'm not being honest.
All right. That was our last question for this episode and for this season. So again, we would like to thank you for listening to our episode, especially if you listened all the way to the end, and for being such beautiful supporters of our podcast and of us. It's really nice when people DM us on our podcast account and then they DM us on our separate account with the same thing. But yeah, anyway, we love you guys so much. So before we end, we obviously have to do our last advice of the season.
Yo, this whole episode was advice. I don't got no more advice to give. Come on, I'm out of advice.
Spew out the advice.
I have nothing.
We know.
Okay?
We know.
Oh. What's your advice? What's your advice, buddy-o? Better go
my
say,
advice is
drink some water.
My advice is to explore new foods. Because I recently went to the Queen's Night Market, and you know, there's a lot of cuisines there. There's Cambodian, there's Puerto Rican, there's Indian, there's Bengali, there's Chinese, there's Filipino, there's, you know, everything.
Okay,
on the globe.
We get it.
There's everything on the globe. So, of course, when I go to things like this, I have to try the best foods. So, of course, I got the squid on a stick. And then I also got Persian food with the rice with some chicken on some rice.
What do you say?
And some pomegranate on top. I also got Afghani food with dumplings, right? And I also got a passion fruit lemonade. But I just explored so many different foods. They were so tasty, and it was great. Oh, I also had a corn dog with mozzarella inside.
Yeah.
It's just, I know so many closed-minded people that don't want to explore new foods because they're just used to their, you know, their American and their bread and their pasta and their brown food. But there's so many different cultures, like especially if you live in New York or the U.S., there's culture everywhere, every block.
It's very true.
I don't hear no true. Excuse.
None. Are you going to ask me for my advice?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it.
No, I don't have any yet.
Oh.
Let me go through the notes.
Not the notes.
I got one. It's very general, but it affected me a lot over the last couple of days. Spend some time with your mom. Not just like sit next to her, but like take her out. Take her out, go get some Cuban food, some green tea lemonades. Just let her get some fresh air. Even if you guys don't talk, my mom is cooped up in the house a lot. And she had a really big headache for a long time. And, you know, she wanted to go to the doctor. So I was going to take her to the doctor. But once we got outside, she was like, yo, I'm feeling better. Do you want to just go get food instead? I was like, yeah, sure. Then we just spent the whole day together. And that was like the cure of her headache. So, you know, it's kind of poetic in that, you know, there wasn't much talking. There was, you know, some laughing, some giggling. It was just going out, just spending quality time together. And even if it doesn't seem like it'll do a lot, it did a lot for me. And I hope it does a lot for you guys, too. So spend some time with your mom, man. It's important.
It was a good one.
For me, I know. You're supposed to go eat food. Go eat more food. Go eat some.
I'm just never going to talk. You know, next season, it's just Mushun on his own.
I can't wait.
All right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode and for listening to the season finale. Please stay tuned for the comeback of season 2 of Difficult Dish on July 1st. Right.
July 1st. Yeah. Pip, someone come back.
Pip of the morning. July 1st. Pip of the month.
Uh-huh.
So thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much for the support. Please
maybe our
us.
First episode back will be the story of us dating. We didn't get
oh,
into it
wow.
this one.
We don't know.
Maybe we'll drop a gem in saying that we are dating.
Oh,
y'all
wow.
didn't know.
Oh, that's
you feel me? We're dating, all right?
Right? I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. All right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on our Instagram.
Follow me.
It's at Difficult Dish. Please Masha follow Mushnoon. He's begging. It's at Mushroom Munir. Please also follow me if you would like to at Labyrinth.
You got enough of those, okay?
All right, we love you guys. See you in a few weeks. You. I love you.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.